Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, the place for blade lovers to learn about knives and knife collecting and hear from the makers, manufacturers, and reviewers that make the knife world go round. I'm Bob DeMarco, and coming up, we take a look at a new Kubi in my collection. Best Tech taps new talent for a new Tanto. And then we take a look at daggers. Daggers. I will define what I consider a dagger when we get there. I reference a book, a weapons book, that my brother and I had years and years ago that I recently bought here. And they refer to daggers in a very loose and open way. I do not. So we will get down to that in a while. But first, let's do a pocket check. And kind of apropos to this pocket check is something that's dagger-like, but is definitely not a dagger. That is my Boker Smatchet. The Smatchet was a 13-inch bladed, double-edged knife made for combat, for fighting. It was not a utility knife. It was made for fighting, double-edged, given to Rangers and various special troops in World War II. I know a lot of those ended up in the South Pacific. In any case, a classic blade and reimagined by Boker Knives and Chuck Gaudreidis. Chuck Gaudreidis, an amazing custom knife maker who every knife is unique with this guy. Really cool stuff from Chuck Gaudreidis. And this design, a little bit off of his usual sort of fare, his knives tend to either be slender, very ornate automatics, or he does those switch army knife automatics, that look, little automatics that look like Swiss Army knives. Whoops, sorry about that. Really great action, very bad deployment on my side here. But this sort of big, bold Smatchet, I just think he nailed it. If you're going to take a big combat knife, a big double-edged, nearly short sword of a knife, and turn it into a folder, I think he did the design just right. But why do I say it's not a dagger? It has a lot of daggery elements to it. It's got a symmetrical spear point blade. That's a big part of a dagger to me. And it's got a bevel on the top edge, just as it does on the bottom edge. However, naturally, this is a folder, and it is not a specialized folder, and that is quite a broad blade, so it does not disappear in the handle. You cannot make this a double edge. Sorry, I don't know why I can't open this with my left hand. But this is not a dagger. It's a dagger-like object, a beautiful blade. I love this thing. And actually, here, let me switch to my right hand so you can see how wonderfully it deploys. Just a gentle suggestion from your thumb, and it flies out on that bearing pivot. That's VG10 blade steel. You can see Chuck Gaudreidis's maker's mark. This was a gift from my good buddy Dave, this old sword blade reviews. Look at this sort of Art Deco clip. I really like the design of that clip. And then, of course, the beautiful wooden scales. I think this is rosewood, if I'm not mistaken. Rosewood, like the fretboard of a guitar. Really, really beautifully done. That knife also comes in several delicious colors of micarta, which, if you've ever had Boker micarta, they use really good micarta that tends to take on a nice patina. So highly recommend that non-dagger, dagger-like knife. Very cool. Second knife on me today. I'm a little Kubi happy because of my recent $40 high-value purchase on Amazon, which I'll show you later in the state of the collection. But I've been digging on this Kubi here, Vagrant. I really like this little knife. Another gift from Dave. Jeez, it's the Dave show right here. Thanks again, Dave. Really, really dig this Kubi. This is designed by Max Chichuk. This Vagrant comes in a number of different colors. That's G10. That's a liner lock. I really like Kubi's branded pivot. I think it's really nice. Anyway, this model comes in a number of different G10 colors and two different blade shapes. One like this, more Warncliffe-y with that swale on the top of the blade, and nice bellied Warncliffe, I should say, with a nice point. But it also comes with a sheep's foot that has a smooth domed, not dome, but a smooth curved spine down to a more flat edge. So yeah, Kubi makes it really, really good knife for quite a good price. This is on bearings, comes out with authority, very, very smooth, very good detent on this knife. Great jimping, very sharp. Aus 10 blade steel, you don't see too much. I've only actually seen Aus 10 on cold steel, I think, on the whole. I guess it's appearing elsewhere, but cold steel really took advantage of the Aus 10 as they did the Aus 8. And then lastly, thirdly, on my person today is one that I haven't worn in a while, but this used to get a whole lot of airtime. This is the Topps Rapid Strike. Now, I have this one double-edged. Very nice sheath. And I like these clips that they put on some of their Topps knives. Not a huge fan of that big rotating clip that they have. You can remove it, but it also leaves a peaked sort of, well, it leaves a mesa bulging out of the side of the sheath. So it basically, if you don't use that rotating spring clip on one of those Topps knives, it's you may as well just make another sheath. So I was happy that this one did not come with that, but it also did not come with this. I put this on from, I think, the Felony Stop or one of my other knives. So great sheath on this, but let's talk about this knife. The Rapid Strike is a double-edged knife here, and I requested this one double-edged. You can buy it either way. And I did modify the handle to make it smaller and less pointy on the pommel, so it's easier to carry and to use in this reverse grip. But I want to talk about the blade here. So this is a double-edged blade, and it's a straight blade. So you might think, oh, is this a dagger? And I would say no. Now, this Book of Weapons, which I highly recommend by the Diagram Group, it's a full history of weapons from Stone Age weapons to nukes. And it's got everything in it is illustrated in these incredible etchings and incredible line drawings. Very cool book. My brother Vic and I pored over this for years and years and years and years, all through our childhood and adolescence. And it was very, very well thumbed. I think my brother has the original, and I found this Barnes & Noble or something like that. Very good book. They would say that this is a dagger. I would not. I would say that because it lacks symmetry, it's not a dagger. This is a double-edged fighter, for sure, but not a dagger. In any case, this is what I carried fixed blade today. Didn't remove it once until right about now, and that's the way it should be, unless I'm practicing drawing it and playing in front of the mirror where no one can see. I say, do your Carenza like no one's watching, but I didn't. Not today. So these were my three knives. I had the dagger-like, but not dagger, Boker Smatchet, the wonderful Kubi Vagrant, and then the also dagger-like, but not a dagger, Rapid Strike by Topps. Double-edged. Let me know what you were carrying today. Call the listener line, 724-466-4487, or leave a comment down below. Happily like taking in that information, and I find it inspirational. There are knives, like this Kubi Vagrant, for instance, that I would not have gone out of my way to get, but because it was donated by someone, that's a tacit recommendation, and I took that recommendation and ended up being exposed to something I wouldn't have exposed myself to and really, really benefiting. So please leave a comment, let me know what you're carrying, and maybe you get some of that from this show. That would be great. And if you do, if you get any information from this show that you think is valuable, whether it's from the interviews we do every week with knife makers and manufacturers and luminaries of the knife world, if you think that's valuable, you like listening to those conversations, or you like the other knife content like this show or Thursday Night Knives, which is always a blast, and you want to support the show, think about doing it on Patreon. We have a couple different tiers of support. And at the top tier of support right now, before we add a ludicrous level of support, we offer a monthly knife giveaway. And for every level of support, you get interview extras and other content. So this is the hard sell. Consider supporting the show on Patreon. Quickest way to do that is to go over to theknifejunkie.com/Patreon. Again, that's theknifejunkie.com/Patreon.
If you're a knife junkie, you're always in the market for a new knife. And we've got you covered. For the latest weekly knife deals, be sure to visit theknifejunkie.com/knives. Through our special affiliate relationships, we bring you weekly knife specials on your favorite knives. Help support the show and save money on a new knife. Shop at thenifejunkie.com/knives. That's thenifejunkie.com/knives.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. And now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
Best Tech Knives. Man alive, do I like Best Tech Knives. And to be honest, I don't have any currently in my collection branded as Best Tech Knives, but I have a number of outstanding knives like a Vero Engineering Synapse and several off-grid knives that are made by Best Tech. And they are really, really good. I think maybe because they were later to the scene than Riat and Lee and Reich, they were looked at as the little brother on the block. I think that Best Tech does amazing work. Anyway, though I did I did give the, what was it called? The Best Tech Kendo that I had. Kendo? It was a Tanto early on in Best Tech. Very nice knife. I think it was called the Kendo. Anyway, I gave it to my buddy Drew, who uses his knives hard, and he gave it back to me broken, like at the Ricasso, blade broken. What did you do with this? He's like, you know, I don't know, opening up ammo cans or I don't know what the hell he was doing with it, but he did break that Best Tech, but he was not using it the way it should be used. So Best Tech knives, awesome is what I'm getting at. Well, they're tapping new talent for a knife that they're coming out with called the Titan. And it is a fantastic looking Tanto, if you ask me. And if you ask Ben Schwartz of Knife News, he'll tell you that this is a combination of American Tanto with that very distinct secondary point near the tip and Japanese Tanto, where you have that forward edge, in this case, curved, because a traditional Japanese Tanto from tip to Ricasso, it's a curve. Not a facet like you see on Americanized Tantos. So this one, brings these both together. And, I think it's a really good looking knife. And it's in the D2 G10 setup here. And as you can see, or if you can't see this, this product sample that Best Tech sent out, in this photograph here has JG10 with the black blade, which warms the cockles of my heart. I love that color combination. I know a lot of people are turned off by natural JG10. It's a very, very polarizing material. I'm on the side of yes, please. And so I love the way this one looks. But also, I think it's cool that this is a brand new, untested designer named Keanu Alfaro. Is that not a cool name? Keanu Alfaro? Pretty cool. Anyway, this guy's he's a designer, product designer, and I think he's done a beautiful job here. I think that this guy must like knives. He's not just a product designer. He must be a knife junkie. But I do like this combination of Americanized Tanto and Japanese Tanto. That blade is 2.94 inches. And I don't see a lanyard hole. This is maybe it's got a little post. How do you feel about lanyards? I'm all for them. Or fobs. You know, I don't actually carry my knives on lanyards. But a little thing on the end. I like the option on a small knife. I don't like when I don't have the option. Like on this Kubi Vagrant, I would love to put a little thing on there, a little paracord or leather fob on there, because I love this knife and it means a lot to me. I'd like to commemorate it with a fob. They don't give me that option. Come on, people. All right. So anyway, that's the Best Tech Titan, designed by a dude named Keanu Alfaro. And, we're all looking forward to it. Japanese Tanto meets American Tanto. Coming up on the Knife Junkie Podcast, we're going to take a look at my new Kubi and then a couple of other new cool things that have come in here. Maybe you saw me flash one of those cool things a few moments ago. And then daggers. Plain and simple. Daggers. Love them. All coming up right here on the Knife Junkie Podcast.
And now that we're caught up with Knife Life News, let's hear more of the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Get upside and start earning cash back. Download the app at thenifejunkie.com/saveongas and start saving. It's that easy. Earn cash back in seconds. Download the Get Upside app right now at thenifejunkie.com/saveongas.
So, it's been an exciting week here. After several weeks of very little USPS action at my door, by design, I'm trying to save up a little bit here. I did have a recent sort of break from that and got a couple of things, because one thing you'll see at the end of the state of the collection was actually a drop. I got in on a drop, you know, a low number output of a product I wanted, and I actually got it. That never happens. So I'll show that off proudly. But first, you know, I was talking about that Kubi Vagrant that I like so much. Well, I decided I'd check out another Kubi and threw this on a recent Amazon order. And at $40, I'm a little amazed. I'm quite amazed at how awesome this knife is. Okay. This is the Kubi Flash, and then it's got some numbers after it. And I don't, if I have a name like Flash, I'm not going to bother with the numbers. Just by the way there, they did give you a lanyard hole on this big knife where I don't need it. But anyway, this is the Flash, all blacked out except for the flats on that beautiful bellied Warncliffe blade. Ergonomic handle remains neutral enough if you need to change your grip, but gives you almost a pistol grip. However, the way it cants the blade, it doesn't give you that effect. It just puts the point exactly where you want it for two things: utility cuts and for knowing exactly where that point is if you're thrusting it. This is a nearly 4-inch blade. I think that's 3.84. It's D2 steel. And of course, G10. I really like how they took this branded Kubi pivot that I was showing you before. You can see the KB, and they totally blacked it out with that matte black. The rest of the hardware is black. Very cool. Something I was talking about on the Thursday Night Knives the other night when I pulled this out was when Kubi first came out a couple of years ago, or at least came to prominence with some of my trusted voices on YouTube. I was turned off by the logo. Look, I try to, I'm like a Seinfeld character. I just try to find anything that can turn me off of a knife because I will buy them all. I want every one of them. So each knife that comes out, I have to figure out why I don't want it. And with Kubi knives, everyone's like, oh my God, these things are awesome. I really like the designs of them, and they were inexpensive. So you know what stopped me from buying like 500 Kubi knives when they first came to prominence? Was the logo, which you can barely see here. Should have gotten the box out. Actually, got the box right here. So this logo, it's kind of a skull with a beret and a star and headphones. I was like, what the hell is that? That they're mixing their metaphors here. I thought it was cheese. I was like, I don't get it. So that's good. And it's got a skull, and that's not my favorite motif. So I don't need to bother with Kubi knives. That's, you know, it's ridiculous, but it's a good justification that has stopped me from going broke. I mean, that's a good system of justification. Anyway, what do I like about this Kubi knife? It has outstanding action. It's the kind of action that you, first couple of times, it wasn't this smooth. And then after like 10 flips, super smooth. And then I'm checking the pivot. Oh, is there play? Is there play? Is that why it's so smooth? No, it's just super smooth. First 10. Gets rid of the dust from packaging, and then boom, you're in motion. Really excellent lock bar access there. You can see the jimped rise there from the clip side, and then a little bit of a void here, so you can easily grab it. Very nicely jimped, but not in any harsh way. I usually do not like jimping on a lock bar. I prefer some sort of chamfered surface to sort of wedge your thumb in there, but this one feels really good. It feels really good, and it releases the lock. It releases the blade so smoothly. That also made me feel a little suspicious, but I checked it all out. It's all just very nicely done, and for very little money. And if you follow how does that work? How can they do that? If you follow it, it often leads to unpleasant places. So this is the conflict I have with buying knives like this. But I'm not going to get into that right here. What I am going to say is I am very impressed with Kubi knives, and I'm happy to have this in my collection. It might end up being a giveaway knife at some point. You know, it just depends. Here's the thing. Here's the why to that. If it's a 4-inch blade, usually I'm not going to carry it unless it's fancy. I mean, I'll just say it. Unless it's one of the fancier knives that I really like. If it's a 3-inch knife like this one, I'm much more apt to carry it if it's not fancy. Fancy, that's my, you know what I'm talking about. So this might end up on the giveaway block at some point, but for now, it's a really really excellent knife. I'm going to figure out, see if it's excellent over time, and we'll go from there. So that's the Kubi Flash, ironically named because of its due to its black, quote unquote, murdered out appearance. I don't like that term. I'm not going to use that again. Okay, I'm going to take a sip of coffee here and move on to another knife from a company that is again killing it. Came onto the scene killing it, and then I felt like I don't want to say faded from view. They did not fade from view, but for a couple of years there, I felt like they kind of dipped a little. Anyway, it was Kaiser Knives, not to leave you on tenterhooks here. I got a new Kaiser knife, and it is the Pelican Mini, and it is from my buddy K. Maxrom from France. Jonathan Renaudin, the designer, K. Maxrom. I've been following him for years on Instagram, and then I had him on the show, and I love his designs, and then have recently gone on a tear. I got the Preta 2 from Concept Knives in both the Tanto and Clip Point, and titanium handle and micarta handle. That's two knives. That's not four. I got them in those two combinations. And then I also already had the Pelican by Concept, which looks different from this Pelican by Kaiser. But Pelican is a knife he's been making for years, and it generally has this shape. And he's made Pelicans in Tanto and Pelicans in this sort of clip point. But a big part of that design language is this generous thumb swale in the spine of the blade. You'll see that across his designs. It's an element that I really like because it ends up creating this double peaked, double humped spine on both the Tanto and on the clip point. And it's a design element that I love ever since the first time I saw the Mac Vsog Bowie knife in maybe Terminator 2 in 1991. I think that's the first time I saw that knife. But here's a Brian Brown Raptor that has that double peaked clip point. I just love that shape. And the Pelican knives and the K. Maxrom knives with their ever-present and generous thumb swell on the spine creates that look. And so I've always been compelled by his designs. This thing, made by Kaiser, is outstanding. I mean, the blade is super thin. It's a nice, it's a decent blade stock, but it comes to a very thin edge. It's a flat ground blade and just really stupidly sharp. I am really happy that Kaiser is making such awesome knives. I think they always were. I think it was a perception in my mind about them slipping. I don't see why they would have. I know that, some of their designers broke off and made Concept. Some or a designer of theirs broke off and made Concept, another brand that I think is awesome. I don't think that would have affected the whole Kaiser company, so I think maybe that was a perception I had. But anyway, a really nice micarta that showed up real gray, which I love because this one has started to take on patina nicely. And when you see the gray, when you see the kind of the epoxy part of the epoxy and the raw fibers of the micarta, I always feel like that's the kind of micarta that's going to take on patina the best. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I just don't carry the knife enough and use the knife enough to create a patina in that micarta, but I do love that. The detent on this is pretty stiff. I find it, at first I found it kind of painful unless I had exactly the right angle on it, with my right thumb. With my left thumb, oddly, maybe because it's on the same side of the lock, it's harder to flick out, but easier to slow roll out, and harder to slow roll out over here, but easier to flick. I don't know. And then middle finger flicking is catch-as-catch-can with me, but this has been a car knife for a week now. I've been fiddling with it and breaking it in very nicely. I do recommend this knife. I actually was kind of on the fence about it, or I knew it existed, and then my weird justification for not getting this one was that it didn't have a swedge, and I thought it needed one. Of course, it doesn't. But then I saw Stella's Knife Obsession. She's someone I follow on Instagram. She got one of these and was flicking it. I was like, oh, it's time. And so she inspired me to get this. And so here it is. I really, really like this. This has been my back pocket secondary a lot over the past week that I've had this. Very nice knife. Okay. That's, by the way, that blade steel is N690CO. N690 is a steel used a lot by the Italian manufacturers. It's German, right? Bohler. And, or is that Austrian? I shouldn't speak about stuff I don't know, but I seem to do it all the time. But it's one of the blade steels that, Kaiser uses in their Vanguard line. And it's a good steel, for a budget steel. All right. Last but not least, certainly not least in the state of the collection are these. That's right. Be nice. So these are aluminum knuckles, that I got from Jonathan McNeese, McNeese Knives. These are single billet aluminum milled knuckles. I've always wanted knuckles. And Jonathan McNeese, besides making the McBee and the Mac 3 and 3.5 and the other cool knives he makes a cool self-defense knife, double ring hooked self-defense knife. He makes a lot of cool little things aside from knives. And when I saw this on his Instagram page, I jumped at it. And then I missed it. And then he did another run and I got it. And so to me, that's a victory. But this also starts, and if you, hang on, let's see. So on the front of these knuckles, it says be nice, which I love. And on the back, it says, McNeese knife. So this has started something. I've wanted brass knuckles forever. For a long time, they were hard to come by and illegal. And now who knows if they're legal? I don't know. I want some, and there are a lot of different historical designs of brass knuckles, and I want some of the classic style. This is kind of a classic style, where you have the piece that fits into your palm, and then the finger holes suspended above it, and so it opens up your fist, but also presents those knuckles. So this one in particular, I find these edges a little harsh, these corners a little harsh. I took it out to our heavy bag and pounded on it a little bit. And no doubt the heavy bag was crying and hurting. But my palm was not loving the experience either. So these would be good with a pair of gloves on for sure. You know, like those tight black leather gloves you wear when you're going to do wet work. You put these on and you get your information. No, I'm just kidding. But I like the be nice part of it because that's the thing. If you ever have to put these on, it means someone's being menacing and someone's being a jerk and, well, they deserve to have that little imprint on their cheek if they need to get it. Of course, this is me just playing. I don't go out and get in street fights, and I certainly am not, you know, hitting people with brass knuckles. But they're fascinating bits of defensive kit, and they come in some really beautiful designs. And now with Instagram and just the internet in general, and just the opening up of things and the loosening of some weapons laws, we can find these more and more. And so. I'm going to seek some more out. Now, funny thing is, we're driving around. I was doing errands with my daughter and I brought this with, and she's, you know, we're walking into different stores and she's like, can I carry the knuckles? I'm like, sure. Just, you know, put them in your pocket. And she liked the, so she wants me to get her a pair. And I said, not yet. First of all, your hands are too small, you know, to make it work, but you know, maybe we can start with some G10 knuckles. Or some, you know, GRN knuckles. You can find those brass knuckles that are not made out of brass. They're just made out of plastic. But anyway, I like these modern women. I like that they like their brass knuckles. What can I say? All right. So next up on the Knife Junkie podcast, we're going to talk about something important. We're going to talk about daggers. As I discussed before, I showed this weapons book. I just want to show you something real quick. Let's see. I don't know if it'll fit under the knife cam, but I'm sure it will. So this is a great book. Just incidentally, you got to check this thing out. Each chapter shows how different weapons work and blows them up and shows diagrams and then talks about historical battles where certain weapons were used, that kind of thing. But I just want to read how they define dagger here. Daggers. One of the basic ways to kill or wound is to stab. The dagger is the simplest stabbing weapon. It is short-bladed, held in one hand, and while used primarily for thrusting, many will also cut in the manner of a domestic knife. as one man's basic weapon is found in all parts of the world and has been used since the Stone Age. And you can see these various diagrams for different daggers. But the funny thing is that they list all of these as daggers. I would say Cinquedilla, yes. Whatever this is, it's like a dirk, yes. This crisp, double-edged, and symmetrical, yes, even though it's wavy bladed. Yes. Conjar, no. Whatever this is, I'm not sure what that is. No. And Bowie, no. In my estimation, I think that it's got to be symmetrical, pretty much, and it's got to be double-edged. Now, you say, but this Chris is not symmetrical. It's all of... It kind of is. It's kind of symmetrical. So I'm just going to... I'm going to end with that. Kind of symmetrical. Whereas the Conjar, and what is this? A double-curved Persian or Indian blade, even though it's double-edged, is not. So that's what we're going on here. And then also, I want to say this. A dagger is also not this. Here is a completely double-edged, nearly near dagger. This is a Loveless model, sub-hilt fighter. And you can see, or if you cannot see, it has a long, slender 7-inch blade. And the bottom edge, the main cutting edge, as it would be when held in hand, is that of a Bowie. And then, or is that of a dagger, but the top edge is that of a Bowie. So it runs parallel to the main edge to about 2/3 of the way towards the tip, and then it takes a clip down towards the tip. If you can detect that, it's all sharp. So it's, stem to stern sharp and double edged like a dagger, but it's not shaped like a dagger because it's not a symmetrical spear point. That's how I'm defining it. And, let's get on with it. All right. So this first one is an out-the-front automatic. This is a Microtech Troodon. And it is not symmetrical. It is symmetrical in blade. However, the top edge is serrated. To me, it still counts because it's two sharp edges on a symmetrical spear point blade. When you look at the handle, happily, it's not symmetrical. I find symmetrical handles somewhat troublesome because my hand is not symmetrical. And so I do understand that it allows you to, a symmetrical handle will allow you to turn it either way and make it work. And with a dagger, that's ideal, right? Because, you have two edges that you're working with. But here, I find that even though this is very asymmetrical and fits in the hand nicely like this, it does also work perfectly flipped upside down. As a matter of fact, I prefer it that way because it puts the thumb forward on this jimping that should be, that's generally on the lower side where your forefinger is. And then further back at the back end of this actuating, slide is another bit of jimping for your forefinger, which naturally rests further back behind the pad of your thumb. So upside down, I think the Troodon and the Ultratech you'll see in a minute work even better. But this, to me, is a dagger. It is a great double-edged implement. This one is troublesome, I gotta say. This particular specimen is troublesome. If you saw, it just failed. I do have to send this in. Ever since I got it, it's been a problem child. I even bought it thinking I was getting a combat Troodon, which is an inch larger than this, and thinking I was getting a great deal. I rushed into the purchase. but yeah. Okay. So there it is. The Microtech Troodon. I think they're best looking out the front, dagger. Incidentally, that's the small version of the large version that was used in John Wick 2. Sort of. Okay. Next up is the Ultratech. Now, another Microtech out the front. It is not a common thing. I did not preface this, but it is not a common thing to find a dagger in a folding knife. Like before, when I was talking about this, it is not all that uncommon to find a dagger grind without a sharp edge on top. To me, that's just a tease. I love this knife, but it's a tease. A true dagger is hard to do because the whole blade has to nestle into the handle. The detent has to be tuned so perfectly so that it does not come out. And, it doubles the danger. It doubles the illegality. So they're not as common. And as we know, most people carry folding knives as opposed to fixed blade knives, so they're less apt to carry a folding dagger. All right, so here we go. This one is such a beaut. I love this knife. The Ultratech. This is the full-size 3.4-inch dagger blade with the sharpened top edge and the blackened bevels. I just think their Ultratech blades are gorgeous. I'm not a big fan of the drop point Ultratech blade, but this and the Tanto are just gorgeous on the UTX. Not a fan of their other Tantos on out the fronts, like the Troodon Tanto. I don't like the look of that. But God, this thing is awesome. So same deal with the handle. It is not symmetrical. It is very neutral, stick-like, but it's not symmetrical. Equally comfortable with the serrated edge up or down, because again, it gives you that option for a bit more of a natural grip here. When you have it in standard position and your thumb resting up against the slide, well, your forefinger, your whole hand is further back on the handle, and your forefinger is not engaging that bottom jimping at all. So if you turn it over, that forefinger jimping becomes the thumb jimping, and the slide becomes the finger guard for the forefinger. And you can do that because the blade is double-edged and symmetrical. Well, not symmetrical because it's half serrated, but you get it. Gorgeous knife. This one has a very stiff action, but very reliable action, unlike the Troodon. I'm going to send the Troodon to boarding school. Military school, see what happens. I think we have the kernel of something great here, but we just need to forge it into a cooperative young out the front. Okay, next up is the, I was about to say arch nemesis. It is not. I wish that were in this lineup. This is the Antimatter, also a beautiful folding dagger, but this one is not automatic. This is one of the few frame lock folders or just regular folding knives that lock, that has a dagger, a fully sharpened dagger blade. Hinderer makes the Maximus. That's one. Sharp by Design, Brian Nadeau makes the Arch Nemesis, my dream folder. I love that. That's one of my grail knives for sure. And then Israel Bacchus and his company, Arcane Design, got together, collaborated with Something Obscene Company to come up with this a few years ago. And wow, did it turn my head. Manufactured by Riot and designed by Israel and Something Obscene Company, Felix. This is a fully symmetrical, fully double-edged, though you can get it single-edged if you need to, dagger that can wave out of your pocket with the quillion. Of course, this being a dagger, you have to be careful when closing. You can't touch the back of that blade, but you can use the quillion on the top here, or you can just let that fine Riot action and gravity take care of things. Beautiful bronze and tumbled black anodizing on this titanium. I think it is gorgeous. And then it has this cool science fiction inspired clip, which if you've listened to any of the interviews with Israel, you know that he is very inspired by science fiction and ideas and theories about the future and space travel and all this kind of stuff. So you can see a lot of futuristic sort of design flourishes in his work. This actually, if you ask me, happens to be his most traditional design, because some of his other designs, like the Warncliffe and the Tanto and his new clip point hybrid, they all look very futuristic. This, to me, looks like it could go through, it could be any time. This could exist in any time throughout history, kind of. Except for the execution, of course, with the ceramic ball bearings and the titanium and all that. The reason I opted for this model, they have a, they made one with a Damasteel blade. I didn't opt for that because it was way too expensive, for my capacity at the time. And then they had one with the black blade and this color handle, or the black and the black and the black. And they all looked cool. I actually liked the black blade with this handle best, until I realized that with this knife, you would be getting this gorgeous and sumptuously beautiful machine satin that I love that Riot does here. So I decided to go with that because I figured this double-edged quadruple beveled blade would be dazzling with that machine satin on it. And I would spend hours gazing at its beauty. A cool thing about this is that it's got that fuller right down the center, which lightens it and adds rigidity, making it in cross-section kind of like an I-beam. So that is a bit of old tech that you keep seeing in knives. That's what's so cool about knives. It's a straight line, just like you and just like I am, the product of a straight line of successful breeding throughout history back to the caveman days. Well, that fuller is kind of the same thing. The fuller worked, in the medieval days. The fuller worked in the days of Odysseus and the bronze swords. Fuller still works on this futuristic antimatter by Arcane Designs. Love this thing. All right, putting it down and moving on. This next one is a design originally by A.G. Russell, a knife-making legend who died 2 years ago now or a year ago. Rest in peace. But he left a huge impact on the knife world, and this is a very popular knife. This iteration is by CRKT. It's a single drop forged version of his fancier Sting dagger. So do you recognize this? You might see this is a very popular knife, this CRKT version. But the A.G. Russell version has, there are different kinds, but like polished black micarta with a shiny aluminum bolster and just a lot of different, sort of really nicely dressed up versions of this knife. This is, what does it say here? Let's see, Sting by A.G. Russell. Okay, it's forged 1050 steel. Okay, so for a long time, this was a bathroom knife. This one resided, this was a gift, by the way, from my awesome brother-in-law, James, years ago, but this resided in the bathroom for a while. Not in the shower, but over by my shaving kit. And anything in the bathroom that has a blade has a red fob on it so that it can be easily recognized and brought to bear if need be. The bathroom is a place where you're pretty vulnerable. You shouldn't forget about self-defense in the bathroom. In any case, I put this long one on because this knife, in a thrust, kind of requires you to go. I'm more used to holding a knife in this fashion, where the spine of the blade lines up with my thumb. But it doesn't feel so secure that way. This knife is more of a flat with your thumb in that depression. It locks in these two symmetrical swales here, lock in the forefinger, and then the butt of the pommel kind of nestles in the thumb. And that's pretty good, but it still feels slippery to me, especially if it's in the bathroom and there's condensation on it from the shower or whatever. So I added this so that I could just loop my hand in there just like that. It doesn't need nothing complicated, but just so I could loop my fingers in there just in case I needed to thrust this and my hand slipped up. It wouldn't be the end of my hand. So, is this born out of experience and necessity? No. But it's born out of imagination and fear, a healthy fear, heaven forbid. But I don't want to not prevail because I didn't have something in the bathroom to fight with just in case. I know you think I'm nuts and that's fine. But it helps me pass the time. Anyway, very, very great, very cool knife and a classic. And it comes in this thermo-mold plastic sheath with nylon over it, and you have two options. You can carry it scout style, or you don't have two options. You can carry it scout style, or you can loop it onto your molly. But the thing is, I always thought the retention on this was rather light. But then I met a guy at my old martial arts school who used to ride a motorcycle everywhere, and he carried this on his belt, and he had it rigged upside down on his belt, and it never fell off. So it doesn't rattle in there. It's pretty secure in there, but I always just thought it removed. It came out too easily, but apparently it's stout and sturdy enough to take the jostling of a motorcycle riding upside down on a belt. The CRKT Sting, nice little dagger, and it is it's pretty inexpensive, and I think you can still find them. All right, next up is a really cool kind of dagger that I only have this one of, but I recently mentioned I'd like to get a custom one of these. Anyway, I'm talking about the vaunted push dagger. This is the Cold Steel Safekeeper, and as Jim and I were quipping before we started rolling, there was a period of time where all of the knives that Lynn Thompson named sounded like Peacekeeper, Safekeeper, all combinations of these kind of things. And so I could never remember which one is which. But this one is the Safekeeper 2. Safekeeper 1 was a double-edged with a void in the blade. This one is a single-edged. What is this? 1, 2, 3.5 inches of double-edged OS 8, I believe that is. Just wickedly sharp, hollow ground, which really helps. Like that article in that book was saying, the primary function of a dagger is thrusting. But you can get some slashing and cutting if you handle the geometry correctly. So some of my favorite daggers have hollow ground blades. And that hollow grind makes the blade thin enough that a slash is realistic to pull off. Otherwise, if you're going just for straight, rigid thrusting, those edges are going to be oblique, and you know, you might split instead of cut if it's soft material. So this thing, this was made in Japan. Very nice. And this is an older one. This is when they first switched over from their leather sheaths to Kydex. And for something like this, Kydex is much, much more welcome. Because it's more realistic for carry in my situation. Though I rarely carry this. I'll every once in a while, I'll pull it out and be like, I should carry a push dagger. Why not? I carry fixed blades all the time, and I think push daggers are cool, and I have this one. But this handle is the grippy, checkered Kraton that Cold Steel uses. It's great to keep it in your hand. Apparently, it's great when wet and all that, but you know, since I carry in the waistband, I don't like the way it feels rubbing against my my sculpted obliques, and I also don't like how it kind of tugs at my shirt because it's a rubbery material. So I end up carrying this not too much. At one point, I thought about wrapping it in sports tape, you know, or that white tape. But then I thought, then I'll just look like a criminal. Then I just look like I'm thinking I'm going to use this. So I avoided that. So anyway, the push dagger. The idea is it's in your hand, you're gripping the grip like this. There's no way, or it's very difficult to disarm. A traditional straight-bladed knife, you might be able to disarm in various ways. This one is short, so it'd be very difficult to disarm. But there might be various ways you can grab a knife out of someone's hand if you create pain in other places and distract, you know, whatever. I don't know. This is all theoretical from you know, practicing in a martial arts school. But theoretically, you can disarm a straight blade much, much easier than you can this, because you can't access that grip. It's buried in there, and then the only thing that protrudes from the hand is unfriendly. So you would have to create a lot of pain elsewhere, and maybe on the wrist and on the top of the hand and on the arm to disarm this thing, to let so the person voluntarily or involuntarily lets go, as opposed to stripping it out. So there are a lot of people like the karambit for that reason. People like various other kind of knives that are captured in your hand for one reason or another, thinking that it can't be disarmed. Of course, anything can happen. You could trip and fall and go like this and try and catch yourself and drop your push dagger. So nothing is a guarantee. But no doubt in the hands of a badass or someone who's used to fighting and has intention, that is an awful, awful weapon to come up against. Okay, next up. This is the only one that is not symmetrical in the blade. But it isn't. This is a modern, I'm going to call this a modern modified. Since in the knife world, we can just throw modified in front of stuff and be justified in whatever comes after it, I'm going to call this a modified pistol grip dagger. This is the Felony Stop, a Lacey Szabo design made by Topps. They still make this. Topps, I love Topps knives. I love pretty much everything they do that I've ever held, and I love drooling over pretty much everything they make, but I have a special soft spot in my heart for their smaller self-defense knives. They're very nasty and imaginative, and really are optimized for carry, and so I do love that about them. And this Felony Stop was the first one that I fell in love with. And so let's show this. So this, I contend, is a dagger. It is a modified pistol grip dagger. Okay, pistol grip, you see why. That's obvious. You've got this curved handle that curves down from the blade in a pretty dramatic fashion. And so if you're holding it in a saber grip, you're holding this pistol grip in a saber grip like this, you get that point forward in a way that allows you to get that point where it needs to be without having to torque your wrist at all. And so this, to me, would be an ideal knife for someone who's got a lot of firearms training, because the grip feels kind of, maybe might feel natural to someone who holds a pistol a lot. Great thing about this knife, it has that thumb swale, so you can put a lot of power behind your cuts. Also, when it's in reverse grip, you can use that thumb swale for trapping your opponent's limb. It sort of acts as a way to capture right in this space. Why is this a modified dagger? Well, look at it. If you cover up the back portion of the knife and just look at the first 2 inches of that blade, it is a symmetrical spear point blade. The top edge terminates at that swale to allow for different grips, but this is a dagger. And the reason I say modified is because the bottom edge is twice as long as the top edge, but it's for a purpose. And ultimately that front business end is symmetrical and spear point. So I contest that this thing is a dagger. And so that's how I feel. I love this knife. As I do most of them, but this one in particular, I know Lacey Szabo has designed so many really interesting, self-defense and tactical oriented knives. One he's known for by name is the Szabo, the Spyderco Szabo knife, that big curved, upswept, harpooned Persian blade. Thing is awesome. I happen to know that our buddy Stu at Stone and Steel up in Vermont has one. They're hard to find, and he's got one, so you can look him up. All right, so there is the Felony Stop by Topps. Next is another Cold Steel. Surprise, surprise. Do love the Cold Steel. And this one I had, gave away, and then just recently bought another version, someone else's. So this here is the Cold Steel Peacekeeper 2. So the Peacekeeper came, it's discontinued now, sadly, came in two sizes. It came in this 5.5-inch bladed size, and then it came in a 7-inch, classic size combat dagger. I have the trainer for that, and want to get that one too, but I saw this one on Blade Forums. Someone was selling some old Cold Steels, and this one was one I've always wanted to get back. Gave it to a friend in Philly years ago, the one that I had, and kind of regretted it the moment I did it. But he gave me a really great pair of American Optical sunglasses, so it was a fair trade. I still have those sunglasses. Hopefully he still has the knife. A very comfortable handle here. This is, that Kraton. And this is an older knife now, and I can't help but feel that the Kraton starts to break down. It feels suspiciously tacky to me, you know, just to the touch. But, you know, what are you going to do? Stop time? The handle on this one is a little smaller, obviously, than the 7-inch one. I'm used to the 7-inch because of the trainer that I have. So I'm used to a larger handle in this forward grip. And, you know, with a dagger, you're pretty much limited in the forward grip to a saber grip like this or a sideways grip like this, but you cannot do a Filipino grip where you're coming up and putting your thumb on there unless it's modified. So I find this and the shorter handle on the dagger to be less comfortable in forward grip than in reverse grip. Reverse grip, this knife is ideal It's the perfect size for my hand and for capping the thumb. It's very comfortable. That guard is not only protrudes north and south, but also east and west. So you get a little action on the, like Coke bottle action on the side. And very grippy. I would feel very confident using this knife in either grip. But to me, it's more comfortable in reverse grip. Great thing about this knife, not only are the bevels hollow. This is a hollow ground, quad ground knife. Their current budget daggers are chisel ground, which is also cool. It has a flat, almost convex side here, and then the crowned double bevel on top. But the great thing about this one is that all four bevels are hollow ground, so they get pretty thin behind the edge. And then from ricasso to about an inch or 2 inches behind the tip, it swells out. It's not a parallel line. And it's not a converging line. It's a diverging line until it hits two bellies on the top and on the bottom and then come to that terminating point. So those two bellies on both edges make this a much, much better slasher than if it had just straight edges or a diminishing edge to that point. So I love the bellied nature of the daggers that Lynn Thompson has designed. My next, I hesitated doing this episode because there's one I really want to get, the Taipan. I've always wanted the cold steel Taipan. And I will get that eventually. And then I'll do a dagger update. But love the cold steel daggers for their bellied edges. And so they really maximize the blade for slashing and thrusting. And that's something that is, well, it's valuable in a dagger. All right, next up, I was going to say probably the most beautiful, but I really like this one. This is the Spartan Harzy dagger. Spartan Blades, just out of North Carolina, makes amazing knives right there in North Carolina. And Bill Harzy, out of the Great Northwest, has been designing the coolest tactical knives for quite a while. You can spot his knives when you see him. He's got a nailed down design language. Even when I look at this dagger, which is not necessarily known for doing daggers, but when I look at this dagger, I can tell it's a Harzy. I'm not removing it from the sheath yet because it is in this amazingly gorgeous Chattanooga Leatherworks sheath. Chattanooga Leatherworks is under the RMJ umbrella. RMJ, Chattanooga Leatherworks, and American Tomahawk, all under the RMJ label. I believe they are also out of North Carolina. I guess Tennessee. And just making amazing, amazing stuff. But I love this sheath. So gorgeous. And this top part can be removed with these Chicago bolts here. And you can put some more discreet carry options on it if you wanted to carry this knife. And not for nothing, for a full-size dagger, this might be just the most carryable full-size dagger that I can think of right now. All right, removing it from the sheath. I just want to look at them. Yes. Okay, that's what I thought. This is exactly 6 inches. Look at this beauty. This is a beautiful knife. Now, you can see that those edges are parallel and then start to terminate towards the edge about two-thirds of the way there. But these, again, are hollow ground bevels, though they are much steeper and less broad bevels because you have that very rigid raised spine, that medial ridge here, which has full thickness to right about there, and then it tapers down to that edge. So this one is definitely a thrusting. This one is optimized for thrusting. That doesn't mean those edges aren't sharp. They are very sharp, very sharp. However, with the length of the bevels, and sort of the steepness of that, you might get a little less slashing power than you would out of, say, the Safekeeper. What is this? Peacekeeper. This thing, I mean, I don't think you're going to miss any performance with this. It is just words fail with this dagger because to me it's just it's such a thing of beauty. S35VN, you got William Harzy's signature there on the ricasso. You've got about an inch there if you need to bring your finger up into the well here for whatever reason. So it's not sharp right down there. I appreciate that. sharp thruster. You've got an incredible Coke bottle handle. This thing has me stultified. You've got a really, really beautiful Coke bottle handle, and as you turn it, you can see that it's really nicely contoured, but never does it feel unsure in hand. Sometimes round handles, like if you've ever watched Forged in Fire, you'll hear Doug Markaita say this all the time. When testing blades, or any of them, when testing blades, if you have a round handle, it's going to turn and you're going to lose edge orientation. Or it's more likely to, on impact, turn and you will lose edge orientation. This one is nicely rounded, but the contours on the spine of the blade around the tang are such that you have a very positive grip. You always know where your hand is. You've got this nice jimping top and bottom here. And then forward-facing quillions, which I think are nice because they allow you to back that thrust with your thumb and your forefinger. So just a beautiful knife. These handle scales are clamshelled on there, and so that tang is not exposed. And a classic. I need, and this is a need and not a want, but I need the Les George Spartan Blades dagger, and then I will be complete. I will be whole. All right. Second to last is an absolute classic, but not the absolute classic. Here it is with the sheath. Yes, it's the Randall Model 2 7, meaning 7-inch blade. This is the Model 2 Combat Stiletto. This is a knife I've wanted for years and years and years and years and years, and then, but never even considered it, A, because of the cost, and B, because of the 5-year wait to get one made for you. This is the exact configuration of this knife I always wanted, stacked leather handles with the commando-style handle. With brass symmetrical quillions here and that 7-inch blade. Any longer, I think the 8-inch blades might be a little bit too long for being light in hand and that kind of thing. And so anyway, the way I got this was Knife Center. They'll get shipments of Randall blades, and you got to jump on them because they go quickly. But if you like Randall knives, these legendary blades, you'll be psyched. This one has some of those same features as the Spartan Harzy. You have an unsharpened ricasso area that you can wrap your finger around. I know that with there was a style of fighting with a Randall knife, with a Randall clip point, which has the clip sharpened, where you would put the main edge up and have that clip, which was sharpened there, and you would bring your finger over the top. And you get very nasty, percussive, gouging, tearing cuts when you use the back part of a Bowie like that. And so I guess GIs learned that, and there was a Randall style of fighting where you had the main edge up and used that sharpened swedge. You can take advantage of that same thing here with this setup. And you can even thrust like this because this tall brass quillion in the web of your thumb will stop you from sliding up onto that blade. And there is a generous bit of ricasso for that. The blade itself is flat ground. I don't know. You know what? I'm gonna recheck. Last time I checked, I determined it was flat. But no, it is hollow ground, slightly hollow ground. And again, you've got a nice bit of belly here for slashing. So not quite as bellied as the cold steel blades towards the tip, but a nice rounded surface here, edge profile, I mean, for slashing. So just a classic. You got that nice long handle that works great in a saber grip like this. So a classic that was born out of, no doubt, this last one. And this is the truest classic of the classics. This is the Fairbairn Sykes. This is the Type 3, I believe. Fairbairn Sykes mass manufactured at this point in the war. I believe it was 1943 and 44 that this particular style came out. My brother gave me this one. It's a little rough on the handle here. Seems like it was cast. I'm not sure who the maker was. At a certain point, the making of these went far and wide in Sheffield. England. But so what is this thing designed for? It's designed for dispatching suckers, I guess. I mean, look at it. It is a purpose-driven weapon. This is straight thrusting. You can cut with that edge. It's actually a very thin and sharp edge, and it's a diamond in cross-section. This one is a little bit warped. But this is a true-to-form dagger where it has those edges that are, it's basically a triangle, basically a long, thin triangle. And it is meant for pushing past material, past canvas, and into flesh. And that's what this is. It's a beautiful knife, and it has led to the design of many, many beautiful daggers. I greatly appreciate this one. My brother has given me so many cool gifts in terms of historical knives. This one rests on the wall of fame behind me, and I wouldn't mind getting a few other Fairbairn Sykes daggers just to have and hold. All right, that's me. I've come to the end of this dagger lecture. I'll just run down. I got two Microtechs. I got an arch nemesis. Oh, that's another Freudian slip. Sorry. I got an antimatter, got a CRKT Sting, a Safekeeper, a Peacekeeper, a Felony Stop, a Spartan Harzy, a Combat Stiletto, and a Fairbairn Sykes. Some of my favorite knives, these daggers. Hopefully here soon you'll see me with a couple others. Like I said, I've had my eye on the Taipan for, I don't know, 100 years. And so I think it's time for me to pull the trigger on that one. And I would like to get the Omerta by Boker and Jason Stout. And then I've been eyeing up a bunch of customs on Instagram. God help me. God help me. All right, coming up this Sunday, check out my interview with Dan Keffler. What a cool guy. Do you know who Dan Keffler is? You probably do. He makes these incredible Japanese swords and the like. But he's really known for his cut. He's a champion blade sports guy and has designed some of the most successful choppers. And one of my favorite creations of his, the K18 double-edged short sword chopper. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Anyway, check that out. That'll be on the podcast this Sunday. And then also be sure to join us tomorrow night for Thursday Night Knives right here on YouTube. You can also check it out on Facebook and Twitch and join the conversation. Speaking of which, download us wherever you listen to podcasts. Right here to my, stage right. All right. For Jim working his magic behind the switcher, I'm Bob DeMarco saying until next time, I do implore you, don't take Bill for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487 and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.